Good morning, Rabbi Isai. Ah! Lili Nishmasimi Mirasi Rispas Mordechai. Today's shir is L'Refua Shlema Osher Ben Chava, sponsored by Chaim again. Shkoya Chaim, in honor of Rebelli. The Kessler family, R'Fua Shlema. Alizatova Bas Esther Gruna, who's recovering from COVID, and she has the machla. You can see Al Meshav Ben Sarah. Pichas Eliyahu ben Nechama Tilya, Simcha Liza Bas Klara, Yehuda Yosef ben Rivka Esther. This dedication should be a schos for my two boys that are starting the new school year. Yehuda Leib ben Rivka Basha, Meir ben Rivka Basha. May they have a successful year of learning and getting the geschmack of Torah and Yiddishkeit. By the Welcher and Spiegel families, this shook me up, Rabbi Yisai. I had no idea that Leon Welcher made a chasana. Or he's making, I have no idea. I still don't know. I just saw this morning on the upcoming marriage. Well, I'm in Bidud. I couldn't go anyway, but it's problematic for me. This evening of their children, Shoal and Tamima, the Zivug should be Oila Yafa. I'm sure when I get my phone back, it's coming soon. There's going to be 30 messages from Leon Welcher. Are you coming to the wedding? We're making a chas and the whole thing. I have no idea. The Zivug should be Oila Yafa. May they be Zoycha to build a Bayis Nam Yisrael. Amen. Paris Achodesh, Michael Bemela, in memory of his mother, Dvorah Feyu Bas Shmuel, father-in-law, and Menachem Mendel Ben Elchanan, in the merit to make it to Uman. Rosh Hashanah, is he going to let us know if he makes it or not? Like if he gets a ticket? All right, here we go. First, when you go on Zoom every morning, you will hear from this very chashuv individual who spends his time learning Torah, Avi Mandelbaum, at the campground of Chushat Tal, right by the Syrian border. There he is. Now, if you look, it's yesterday's daf Mem Aleph. He's not using an art scroll. He's above regular Gemara. You see that? Daf Mem Aleph. Now, another one from Mayor Strobel. I'm in Vegas for a convention. Got up at 4:30 a.m. from jet lag. Nothing better to do than to do the daf. I've been to Vegas many times, and this is the first time I've been motivated to start my day with learning. Thank you. So once again, yesterday's daf, because here I am in my office, and no art scroll, daf mem aleph. But if you look, this guy is a well-traveled and seasoned traveler. He has worn-out svarim here. He has a chumash, other svarim. So yishkoyach meir. This is a beautiful letter, handwritten, an email by Simcha Lichter's mother. Simcha is on, he's a younger man with a beard from England. You'll see him on a lot, almost every day on Zoom. She came to the Shever Brachas in Borough Park to thank me, and she writes like this. Today, yesterday I got this from her. Another benefit, look, she says like this, I want to take this opportunity to thank you for the koichas you put into making Torah learning available for all ages, stages. At the end of the day, when you learn the daf, there's something else happening here that we might not be paying attention to. We learn the daf, and your parents see it. It gives them nachas ruach, which is kibud aveim. Listen to this nachas she has over here. When my son came to America for a simcha, he arrived late at night, but preferred to wait up and did not go to sleep until after the shir, for fear of missing it. It's a nachas for me and my husband to see his mesiras nefesh, to participate in yeshir every day. It's unbelievable. He had every excuse in the world. He just traveled from another country. He could go to sleep. He should go to sleep. Instead, he waits up till whatever time, 12:15 a.m., to see the shir. HaKadosh Baruch Hu give you the strength to continue. Yavetz HaKodesh, maybe Zoycha, Tegul, Shleim, Bekorim, Ksiv, Chsim, Toiva, Beila, Lichter. Another one. I recently had a good mazel to stay at a very nice tzimmer in Tveria while schmoozing with the Balabai Yaakov Gurvitz. It came out that he also is part of MDY family. For anyone looking for a very nice tzimmer with a pool and close to town, call Yaakov. He will soon be adding his details to the MDY directory. Thank you for all the time and energy and your amazing team, including Yehoshua. Yehoshua deserves a tremendous yishkoyach for all the work that he did behind the scenes with the America trip, going from place to place, making all those phone calls and WhatsApps. I don't know what he did. He probably made everybody crazy. Why else would 100 people show up? Invest to make the Torah learning experience happen. And Yosef deserves a huge pay raise. And Yossi deserves a huge pay raise. And Yossi deserves a huge pay raise. Ooh, I didn't read that first. Ooh, so I'll read it again. And Yossi deserves a huge pay raise for his amazing video editing. Yishkoyach. Okay, so here we have Hillel Kovacs from Kochav Yaakov is willing to give Yosef a pay raise, unless he means I should give the pay raise. I didn't chop exactly. I'm sure he's volunteering to give the pay raise. Kol Tov, Hillel Kovacs from Kochav Yaakov. Very nice. And here's the picture of the two of them. Two MDY Chever from Eretz Yisrael. One is the owner of a tzimmer in Tveria, and the other is the MDY guy. Both are MDY. And here, one more, just for good luck. I gotta say, I jumped on and off the bandwagon, the DAF bandwagon, several times when I only started listening to the DAF. When I started listening to the DAF, I truly started actually enjoy the DAF. What makes me even more interested in keeping with you program is the fact that no matter where I turn, I see you there. After joining your group, I saw the podcast Meaningful People. Another example where you keep popping up in recent shares, someone shared on LinkedIn where they created a meme with you in it. Thank you, keep doing what you're doing because of me. Because for me, it works. I attached the meme and LinkedIn page below in case you haven't already seen it, although I'm sure you most likely have. I have not. Here's the meme. Oh, sorry. It's Joe Biden watching the shiur. Amazing stuff from Camp David. Love it. I'm sure he understood everything, like his teleprompter, whatever. Okay. And let me give a shout out. Who's this guy that did the meme? Yoel Judovitz from Story Tribe Media. Shkoyach Joel. Yo, I think it's him. Anyway, we're a little bit behind here, but hopefully we'll catch up today. We're 14 lines off the bottom of Mem Aleph Amud Beis. And I noticed that the last line was a very important line, and I just didn't even explain. I just ran through it and jumped to a chart. The Gemara says that the Gedolei HaTanayim were on a ship, and they bought a lulav. Gamliel bought a lulav for 1,000 zuz. What's the difference how much he paid for it? Lo'idiyacho kama mitzvahs chavivos aleihem. To teach us the importance of mitzvah. He was willing to spend 1,000 zuz, which we said is 5 years worth of salary. Like a woman gets 200 zuz for a ksuba. What's interesting is that it says aleihem. He buys the lulav for 1,000 zuz. The Gemara gives credit to all of them. Why? So I saw a beautiful pshat that they were all bidding on this lulav. There was only one lulav available. That's why it was so expensive. And Rabbi Akiva bid 900, and then came Rabbi Elazar ben Gamliel 950. Until Rabbi Gamliel, he had. So the Gemara says it was so beautiful. Mitzvah chaviv saleim. They all loved the mitzvah. They all wanted that mitzvah for whatever it was. They bid up. So that's why it says the word aleihen, and that's why they paid so much. They were outbidding each other. Shaila is, you don't have to spend that much money on a mitzvah. Okay, but they wanted to. Says the Gemara, Omale mar bar ami mar liravashi. So Abamar says, mar bar amemar, mar the son of amemar, said to Ravashi, Abba taluiko mazlubei. My father Amemar, he held on to the lulav the entire davening. That's how much he loved the lulav. Meisve asked the Gemara a question. Lo yoichaz odem tefillin v'yodav sefer Torah b'cheikoy. You're not allowed to hold things in your hand. You can't even hold tefillin in your hand. You can't hold the sefer Torah in your hand. V'ispala. Why? Because you're not going to concentrate on davening. You're going to constantly think, what happens if the sefer Torah falls on the floor? What happens if the tefillin fall on the floor? So because of this, let me just see if I have one of my markers. Yes, Baruch Hashem. You shouldn't hold anything in your hand. And of course, you shouldn't go to the bathroom in them. You shouldn't go to sleep with your tefillin in your hand. Sorry, we discussed this. Hafacha. Vomer Shmuel. Sakin. A knife. You shouldn't hold a knife in your hand. Uka'ar in a bowl. With food, whatever. Or a bowl that will break. Kikar. Bread. That becomes disgusting if it falls to the ground. Umois, money. You don't want to drop your money. Somebody else is going to pick it up and take it. Harelu kiyotzbem. These all have the same halacha. Something that you're concerned is going to fall, you shouldn't hold. So how did Amemar hold his lulav and esrig during Shemoneh Esrei? Hasam lav mitzvaninu utarbu, says the Gemara, very interesting answer according to Rashi. When we're talking about a knife, it's not a mitzvah to hold a knife. So he's concerned with it. Hacha mitzvaninu v'loy tarbu, from his love of the mitzvah. Lahavdal, a thousand avdalas. You see people glued to their iPhones, whatever, they're constantly like this. They're not thinking about the iPhone is going to fall. It's part of them, it is them. When you have a mitzvah, you love the mitzvah so much, you're not even thinking about it, it's part of you. Tanya or Rabbi Elizabeth Bar Tzadik Oimer. Kachoyim minhagim shalansi Yerushalayim. You know how it used to be in Yerushalayim? This is how it used to be. Adam yotzei mibeisav v'lulavoy biyadoy. There's actually a mitzvah even today to walk to shul with your lulav. Don't give it to your son to carry to shul. You yourself bring it to shul. Hoylech lebeis hakneses lulavoy biyadoy. You go to shul, you carry your lulav. Koyri kriya shema mispalel v'lulavoy biyadoy. You should go to shul, sing shema, Shmona Esrei, with your lulav in your hand. I grew up, actually, my father holds his lulav the entire day. If you saw the wedding, some pictures, he's in a different world, he's learning, he doesn't know, he's not the regular guy. So he's holding his lulav the entire time. Could you hold it during learning? We'll see in a second. There's a very beautiful Chofetz Chaim here. Not really on this dab, but it's negiah to this dab. It's brought down in the back. Been again to this in Chaimas Hadas, Sefer Chaimas Hadas, the Chofetz Chaim writes in Perik Shishi. I think it's a beautiful idea that a lot of us are nichshal in it, including myself. And he says that many times people won't do a mitzvah because of embarrassment. Example. You don't want to go, you're new to Daf Yomi, you don't want to go into a shul and open up a Gemara in front of your friends, and then people are going to walk over and say, look at this tzaddik, he started to learn, look at him. Or, I kid you not, a guy in Shul told me that he's embarrassed to stop talking during Chazar Shashats. He knows that it's Asr, but he doesn't want to stop because people are going to call him a tzaddik. He's the guy, the big schmoozer in Shul, and all of a sudden he's going to stop. Or you could go on and on. People don't put their tzitzis on the outside of their pants because of that busha. Because the guy might say this, and I myself was nichshal in that when I was younger. Yarmulke, all these things. Like, you'll take off your yarmulke going into court thinking that the guy is going to respect you more if you don't have your yarmulke on. In business, tzitzis in business, all these things, and it's a mistake. It's a mistake, and we should overcome this mistake. Don't be embarrassed. So the guy will make fun. The guy will also make fun of you when you look like a big fool, like in that example of you go into the vault and you start grabbing money. They give you a minute. So you look like a fool. You're grabbing. Okay. But he's the fool. He doesn't have $1 million. You have $1 million. So yeah, people will make fun. We got to move on. Go to shul with the lulav. Now, in our days, the Mishnah Berurah says you shouldn't really walk around with your lulav like a big tzaddik, because that's mechzik kiyuara. That's gaiva. Unless you're known to be a person that's careful with all mitzvahs. If you're that type of person, then even today, you can walk around with your lulav. Okay. I'm saying the Chofetz Chaim keeps on going, talking about how every word of Torah is a mitzvah saseh, and how can you give up all those words of Torah because you're embarrassed that your friend is going to make fun of you. Going on a plane, I see people don't have the bush anymore. They go on planes, they open up a sefer, they're on vacation, they open up a sefer. Oh, it reminds me of a story, actually. I told you this, but it hit me. I was home by myself learning. I'm going to say, you know, my father wears tefillin all day. The mitzvah is to wear tefillin all day. Nobody sees me, so there's no gaiva. Nobody will make fun of me. Let me put on my tefillin. So I put on my tefillin, and I start learning. 30 seconds later, my wife walks by. She put out such a yell. What? You're turning into your father? I ripped those tefillin off so fast. Never put them on again. The busha. Okay, listen, that's a little different. She sacrificed for the shir, and I don't want to make him a sugar, da da da. But in general, if it's a learning, what, your wife is going to make fun of you that you're learning the daf. So who cares? Let her make fun. You gotta learn the daf. Anyway, Zog to Gemar. Koy reba toyer v'noises kapov. But if you're reading from the Sefer Torah, or you're doing duchenim, you're a kayin, you can't hold a lulav while you're a kayin. You have to be able to be goyle of the Torah, roll it up. You can't hold a lulav. You put it down on the ground. But if you go to be mevakeh chayla, before, after, whatever means nichum avel lulava biyade. Then you hold your lulav in your hand. Nichlas lebeis hamedrash, but if you're learning Torah, mishagel lulav biyad benoy biyad avdei biyad shluchay. You can't learn Torah while you're holding a lulav because you're going to be so involved in the Torah, it's going to fall on the floor and break. Michael Mashmalan. Well, what's this whole story all about? Reason to teach us how the mitzvahs were so important to them, they were so careful with them, and they loved the mitzvahs. It shows you how they loved mitzvahs in those days. They walked with the lulav 24/7. Rabbi Yosi Omer Yantiv. So in the Mishnah we learned that Rabbi Yosi holds that if a person, it's a big chiddush, if a person is involved in a mitzvah, and because he's involved in the mitzvah, he forgot that it's Shabbos and he walked outside, he doesn't have to bring a carbon. Any other situation that you walk outside on Shabbos from your Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRabbah, you'd have to bring a $500 animal as a carbon, as a chatos. He's potter. Oisik b'mitzvah, he's taro, the tird of a mitzvah, dafka mitzvah. Omer Abaya, top of daf mem beis omer aleph, lo yishanu ela, shlo yotzabai. We're talking about that the person never was mekayim the mitzvah of lulav. And as he's taking the lulav outside into Rishus HaRabbah, that's he's going to be mekayim. Ava yotzaboy, but if it's in the afternoon, he already went to shul, he shook his lulav, everything's good. And afterwards, he takes it by mistake. Chayev, he has to bring a carbon chatos. Okay, because he's not osuk b'mitzvah. He's not osuk b'mitzvah. What is he? It's not a mitzvah to shake a lulav the second time. He already did the mitzvah. Ask the Gemara, but once he lifts it up, how you doing, Henoch? It's good to see you. He's not paying attention. Okay. Oh, now he paid attention. Great. I missed you. I didn't see you in a long time. When you lift up the lulav for a moment, even for a second without a bracha, you're yaitza. So how is it possible that a person walks from his house to Rishus HaRabbim and he wasn't yaitz in the, he was yaitz in the mitzvah. The second he picked it up, he was yaitz in the mitzvah. By the time he gets to his front door, there's no mitzvah anymore. So how can you say that he's busy with the mitzvah? He's not busy with the mitzvah. He already did the mitzvah. So we all know the answer to this because we discussed it in the Tosfos a few days ago. Omar Abaya Kishafachai. It's talking about that the lulav is upside down. When a lulav is upside down, you're not yoitza because it has to be keder gedula, like it grows. That's why most of the olam, besides Svardim, I understand Svardim, don't even pick up the esrim. They say the bracha on the lulav, that was one of the answers in Taisis. They say a bracha on the lulav without an esrim because it has to be over lasi asam. You have to make the bracha before you mekayim the mitzvah. Once you pick it up, you mekayim the mitzvah. Minig Ashkenaz is to flip the esrim upside down. I'm almost sure I see in shul people holding the lulav and esrog straight, and then they do a flipperoo. If I saw that, then it's really bad. I don't know if I saw it. It could be I'm making a mistake because I don't do it like that, so I'm not really aware. But because the second you pick up the esrog and it's straight, you're yaitza, finished, done. What are you making a bracha for? You have to make sure you take it out of the box, upside down. Or, like the Mishnah Brewer brings, the Vilna Gaon says, and he says this is the best way to do it, and that is to think in your mind, I'm not being yoitza now. So even if it's right side up, you're not yoitza. Rava Omar, Rava says, don't forget about it. You didn't flip it over. He took it in the esrog holder, in a kli. Rava Huda Omar, you don't remember, just a few days ago we learned. Rava is the one who says that it's not a problem to take an esrog with wrapped in a towel or your talus. He says it's okay. He says the Gemara animili derech kavod. When you take it wrapped up in a talus, you're giving it the proper kavod, you're doing it for kavod, then it's great. But if you put it in a bowl, in a box, a cardboard box, that's a bezayin and you're not yoitza. By the way, I just want to remind everybody a beautiful story. It was a crazy story, actually, in Meseches Pesachim, Daaf Nun Zayin, where there was a Kohen Gadol who was asked by the king. The Kohen Gadol used to embarrass Kachin because he put on gloves. He was an Istanis, he had gloves. He dealt with all the Korbanos with gloves. And the Gemara says it's a terrible thing. What was his punishment? That the king had an argument with his wife, with the queen. What tastes better, a goat or sheep? Lamb or goat? So they said, you know, let's ask the biggest professional in the world. That's the Kohen Gadol. He eats the most korbanos. They bring him in. And the king said it's the goat. The queen said it's the sheep. And they asked him the question. And he went like this. Of course it's the sheep. A carbon tumen every morning is from sheep, not from goat. You made fun of the king. We're going to chop off your right hand. But he's a righty. So he went and he paid money to the hand chopper guy that he should take off his left hand. But then the king found out that he took off his left hand and he paid a bribe. So he said, now chop off his right hand as well. So the two hands that wore the gloves and weren't mechabed the mitzvah got chopped through. Says the Gemara. Omar Rav Huna, Omar Rav Yossi, Oilas Oiv, Sheninsis Bein Agapayim. So the way it works is, let's see. Oilas Oiv. First of all, in the Beis HaMikdash, you take a bird, you don't shecht it, you do malika. You do one of these with your finger, you hold it just like this, with the wings this way, that way, and with the thumb, you shecht it right over here. Okay. Now, I apologize for this poor Mizbeach picture. It's an overhead view. That was the best one I was able to find now. We have much better pictures, and we had a real Mizbeach when we were learning Yuma. I mean a model. But anyway, when you shecht the oila, bird, you shecht it on top of the Mizbeach, right in this corner, which is southwest. A chatos goes on the ground, bird, chatos, right? A woman brings two birds, a oila and a chatos. So the kohen has to take the oila, shecht it on top of the Mizbeach over here, the chatos in the bottom of it. But if there's an overflow, there's too many birds going on over here in this corner, too many kohanim, too much congestion, traffic. So they go over here, oila beis. I just wrote oila beis over here. You do it on this corner. So what happens is, since they're in a similar corner, the same corner, just the oila is above the red line. There's a red line in the center of the mizbeach. The chatos is below the red line. So they could get mixed up somehow. He puts it down, he takes it. Now a chatos is a bird you could eat from. A oila, we know, goes directly onto the mizbeach. You're not allowed to eat from it. So the story is, the kohen made a mistake and he thought he could eat from this bird because sometimes it's in the same general area. And he ate it, potter. He doesn't have to bring a chatos, a karban me'ila. Maiko mashmal, what's the chiddush? The tabrit bar mitzvah, potter. Rabbi Yossi is saying this halacha. Rabbi Yossi from our Mishnah, who said that if you walk outside on Shabbos with a lulav in your hand, you're potter. So if a kohen eats the wrong animal, potter. Isn't that the same exact idea? He thought he's being mekayim a mitzvah of eating a karban, which is a mitzvah. And he wasn't. He ate a oila. Says Gemara, Hainuach, it's the same. Ma'al the same ha'asam with the tabit of our mitzvah potter. Hasam, interestingly enough, is right over here. Hasam usually means over there. Over here, by lulav. He's trying to be mekayim a mitzvah, and he is mekayim a mitzvah. He's holding a lulav in his hand, and he walks into Rosh Hashanah, he's mekayim a mitzvah. That's why he's potter. The Torah is our mitzvah potter. Hainu da avad mitzvah. Because at the end of the day, he was mekayim a mitzvah with the lulav. Aval hacha, the Torah is our mitzvah, v'lo yavad mitzvah, eim aloy. But over here, it's a little different, because he never actually, it was mekayim a mitzvah. He ate the wrong thing. Imagine he ate pork instead of eating a karban. He wasn't mekayim a mitzvah. How could you say he's potter? Kamash malon, that even though the outcome was terrible, there's zero mitzvah, but since he thought he's doing a mitzvah, he thought he's involved in a mitzvah, we don't make him bring a karban me'ila. Meisve. V'yaisi oimer. Hashoichet es atomit sheinim mevukar kil chasoi. B'Shabbos, Chayev Chatos. Here's a map of the Beis HaMikdash. And right over here, you have four Lishakais. Four rooms. One of these, right over here, is Lishkas HaTloim. Here's a blow-up of what it looks like. A beautiful room with... Hi, yes. Oh, yeah, for Zoom, sorry. Okay, here you go. I'm looking at YouTube. More important than you guys. You guys are only 98 people today. Sorry. YouTube is a little bit more. Okay. So. Yeah, but good, I have to get this more centered somehow. I'll figure it out afterwards. So the Lishkas HaTloim, over here, they would put these animals in there for 4 days to see if they were whole tamim without any mum. And only then they would use it for carbon tamim. So what happened was, if he goes and he grabs one of those karbanos that, and it wasn't in the room, it was in a different room, and it's on Shabbos, chayev chatos. He shechted the wrong animal. V'tzarech tamid acher. He has to bring another tamid. Now listen to this, Noam. Tosis points out here that even if he shechted a karban that's perfect without a mum, it's not a karban. Because the halacha is it has to be for 4 days. And the fact is it wasn't in there for 4 days. Puzzle says Tosis. You have to bring another karban. Omar lei, bar minodahi, doit ma'aloh. So what's the kasha? You see that even though he was Isaac ben mitzvah, he went and he grabbed a karban just from the wrong room. He's chayiv a karban. He has to bring a karban milah. Says Gemara, that's a different case. Bar minodahi, doit ma'aloh. Omar Shmuel bar Chatoi. Omar, I love this. Let's do this slow. Omar Rav Shmuel bar Chatoi. Omar Rav Amnun Soba. Omar Rav Yitzchok bar Ashiya. Omar Rav Unna. Omar Rav. All in the name of Rav. Kigoyin Shevi'im Elishko She'edim Uvukarim. What happened was, he went to the wrong room. When you go to the wrong room, you're Karev Lemezid. You're almost doing it deliberately wrong. And therefore, you are Chayev. He should have paid attention. By not paying attention, you're Amezid. So it's not as if you did a mitzvah. When you're holding a lulav and you want to be kind of a mitzvah, you run into Rosh Hashanah, that's different. Says the Halakha Mishnah. Oy vey, what did I do here? Here we go. The official Mishnah sponsored by official for Fush Lema for Brino Bas Yente Dvara. Mikabelis Isha Miyad Bino Umiyad Balo. A husband comes home from Shul. He's Mikayim the mitzvah of lulav. He could pass over the lulav to his wife, even though she has no chi of lulav. But the lulav is just a bunch of leaves, and leaves should be mukta. She's allowed to. Here's a big chiddush. She could take it and return it into the water on Shabbos. You have a vase full of water, she puts it right back in. Now Rashi points out, it's not going to grow more. It's just it's so that it shouldn't dry out. That is not a prowl on Shabbos. What is a prowl on Shabbos? To replace the water. If you're replacing the water, adding cold water, that's a problem because now you're being matriach, you're working hard to fix a kli. By the way, this is just a joke, but here might be the source why men buy flowers for their wives for Shabbos. You're allowed to give a beautiful lulav and adasim to your wife, so she could put it into the water. Okay. Now, yeah. Says the Mishnah. Rabbi Doimer, b'Shabbos machzirim b'yontav meisifin. On Shabbos, you could put it back into the water. On yontav, you're allowed to add water. U'b'moyed machlifim. On chalamoyed, it's a mitzvah to add water. This actually gave me a lot of simcha. Because I was dealing, I asked the question, what do you do? How do you make your arava stay fresh for the whole yontif? And this guy said it's the, you use silver foil, the other guy said this, that, the whole thing. Whatever I'm going to do, it says over here, it's a mitzvah in Rashi. Mitzvah lahachlev, it's a mitzvah to change out the water so that your arava stay fresh. So if you spray it with that spray bottle, one guy said, don't use a towel, only use a newspaper, whatever it is, there's a mitzvah in it. I'm very excited to do this mitzvah this year. Okay, a youngster, a minor who knows how to shake the lulav, he's chay belulav. It came out a very interesting thing here. If you are nusach sfard, so I still don't know today how they do it. I think they go, no, right, left, front, up, back, down. I mean, it's super complicated. So I think that if you do Nusach Sfard, a kid is not chayiv to shake a lulav until he's 18, 19 years old, until he can get this front, back thing. But if you do Nusach Ashkenaz, you tell the kid, just go in a circle, up and down. He's chayiv when he's 3 years old. It could be a big nafkamina between Ashkenaz and Sfard over here. Kadan Yedel and Anea chayiv lulav. Pshita, Mao the same. Why can't a woman hold a lulav? Why can't she touch a lulav? I would think since a woman is not in the mitzvah of lulav. Why? Because it's a mitzvah saseh shas man grama only on sukkahs. So since she's not in the mitzvah, it's muksa for her. Kamash malan, since it's mutter for the husband, it becomes a kli, and it's mutter for her. You could be medayik here. We're not going to go into it. It seems like a woman does not have to, should not shake a lulav, because if you could shake a lulav, then it shouldn't be muksa anyway. Okay. Ayin in the Rishayna. Katan hayideya linanea. If a youngster knows how to shake a lulav. Tara baron katan hayideya linanea chay belulav. So now we're going to go through his daily routine. When is he chayiv in tzitzis? When is he chayiv in tefillin? When is he chayiv in a korban pesach? All these things, all these halachas. So when he knows how to shake a lulav, even though the halach is that you just lift up a lulav, you're yaita, but that's not enough. He has to know how to do the nanuim to show that he knows what's flying. Chayiv belulav. By the way, I don't know if it's just me, probably just me, but I feel like this Yerida's Hadairus. When I was a kid, I used to go with my father and look for lulavim, and he trained me the bletlach and the this and the that, all the things of lulavim, the tumas and the lulav and the hadasim. I was never able to get my kid to come with me. None of them. They don't want to come. So he was better at getting me to come. I don't know. But I think it's important. It's part of the chinuch over here to teach him how to do lulav, how to look for a lulav, how to be menanei lulav. So says the Gemara, Lisatev, if he knows how to wrap himself like an Arab, chayiv tzitzis. That's how they used to do it in those days. So then he's chayiv in tzitzis. Lishmar tefillin, if he knows how to not go into the bathroom with his tefillin, aviv lekech letefillin. Then his father has to buy him tefillin. It's not enough to just lend him tefillin. He needs to purchase him tefillin because they used to wear tefillin all day long. The Ramos says that in our days, you have to be 13 years old in order to wear tefillin. The Mishnah Berurah says, we go a month, 2 months beforehand. But also they say, the Bir Halacha brings, that since in our day, we don't wear tefillin all day. It's only during davening. So we're much more careful, so to speak. A kid is not going to run into the bathroom since he's only there for a half hour during Shacharis. So it's easier to understand that you could give him tefillin earlier. Omer Rav Avnuna. Sorry. If he knows how to speak, his father teaches him Torah and the Kriyishma. Torah Mai, what does Torah mean? Moshe Rabbeinu commanded us the Torah. My Rasha should be heritage. Kilas Yaakov, the Kila of Yaakov. The Kilas Yaakov is the stipler. He wrote this famous sefer, Kilas Yaakov, Ibrahim Kanievsky's father. So I'll tell you a story about Kilas Yaakov. There was a guy, they brought a kid that was going off the derech to the stipler. And the stipler sat and spent a lot of time to speak to him about Yiddishkeit. And when the kid left, the stipler turned to the Roshiva and said, he's gone. What I spoke to him is not going to help. So Roshiva said, so why did you speak to him? So he said, we speak to the kid, a two-year-old, we say, why do we do that? Why do we speak to a little child? Because Rabbi Saul Salanter says that when a horse goes downhill, you can't catch him. And you're on the horse, you jump. And you wait for him to blow up and explode at the bottom of the mountain. And then you pick up the pieces, whatever's left over. We see a person like that going downhill. He's in a fast track to the wrong place. Wait on the side. And then you try to pick up the pieces. But at least he knows when he's a kid, we taught him Torah Tziva Lana Moshe. So I'm teaching him now. In a few years from now, whenever he decides to do tshuva, he'll have this shmuz that I just had with him. But I don't have a lot of hope that he's going to come back because of this shmuz. Anyway, Kilos Yaakov. Krishma Mayi. What does Kriya Shema mean? We're used to a very long Kriya Shema. No, Pasuk Rishon, only the first Pasuk Shema Yisrael. Haidea Lishmar Gufay. If a kid knows how to watch himself from Tumah. In the time of the Gemara, it's all about Tumah. So there's different types of Tumah. Maga, Masa, Oil. He knows the difference. He knows that if there's a dead body in the room, he's tummy even without touching it because it's oil. He knows that if he moves it, he's tummy. So oichlin al gufay taharis. So if the tahara touched his body, you're allowed to eat it because you could understand that he knows that his body is tar. Now there's another step: the hands. Hands are midrabbanan to become a sheni latuma. We say that people are not careful. If they're Messiah, that's for a second, they become Tamar. So, but if he knows, Lish Mercy Adav, So typically, if a kid touches tahara with his hands, not his body, his hand, then it becomes tummy. But if he's on the level that he knows how to wash his hands, then you could eat taharas that touched his hands. Haideli shal, if you ask him, hey, did you touch that rat? And he says no, or yes, or I don't know. In other words, he knows how to answer. So it depends. Bishus hayachet speketame, bishus haravim speketar, the typical tumen taira. When it comes to tumah, if it's a suffix that happened in a private domain in Rishus HaYachid, Tameh, Rishus HaRabim, Tar. But if he doesn't know how to answer, then Sveiko, even Rishus HaYachid, is Tar. Because all these halachas we learn from a Saita. And a Saita is a woman who understands. And if she doesn't understand, there's no difference between Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRabim. It's just Tar. Hayodeya Lifrois Kapov. A minor who knows how to duchen, chalkin leitruma bebeis hagranois. So it's very interesting because according to the Rishonim here, we're talking about, now we're jumping to another thing. If he knows how to duchen, then he's not a katan. Now we're talking about a gadol. And if he's a gadol, you can give him granois. You can give him truma in the field because otherwise it's a bezoyain. We're concerned that people are going to say, what's going on here? We're giving truma out. We're giving it to kids that are not bar mitzvah, that they don't. But since he knows how to duchen, people are going to say, oh, he's a gadol. Now we're turning to Daf Mem Beis Omid Beis, sponsored by the MD White Tehillim Group. For all those who need Shidduchim refusing Yeshuas, please join Tehillim.amindaf.com. And by Shlomo Lalazarian from LA, in honor of Rebelli's wife, Fagi, for sacrificing her life in order for Rebelli to prepare the daf. I just realized today that he most likely spoke to my wife. She must have said something about sacrifice. I have to ask her. Yeah, I'm sacrificing my life. That's what he said over here. Like, where did he get it from? Okay. Mem beis amem beis. Hayudea lishchoid. If a kid knows how to shecht, meaning he physically knows the action, what you're supposed to do. He doesn't know any halachas. He knows how to take a knife and go back and forth. Oichlim shchita, so you could eat his shchita. Provided that there's an adult there. Meaning, the adult makes sure that there's no shihiyah, there's no drisa, he didn't push down too hard, he didn't wait for a moment, it was a smooth motion, back forth, okay. What if there's a three-year-old that doesn't know how to shecht, doesn't know the motion, but he shechted and there's an adult there that made sure there was no shihiyah, no drisa, none of the five problems. No good. According to Tosfos, you need two conditions. You need to know how to do it, and also that a gadol saw that you knew how to do it. But the fact that you did it well, and a gadol saw that, that's not enough. Yachol lechol kizayis dagon. If a child could eat, a baby could eat an olive's worth of one of the five minim, one of the grains, that makes his waist smell, and therefore he can't learn Torah next to it. Achilas pras. Achilas pras, we're all very familiar. Baruch Hashem. Achilas pras means half. When a regular in-between person knows how to eat, however long it takes him to eat a half a loaf of bread, so it's four kibbutzim, whatever, 3 to 9 minutes. If a child, a baby, could eat a kazayis in that amount of time, then his waist smells bad. But let's say he takes this kazayis bread and eats it over a period of 2 hours. That's not enough. That doesn't make it smell. What makes it smell is if he could do it quickly with day b'chdei achilas pras. Omer avchiyeh b'reider avyeva u'begadoil. If it's an adult, he takes this pasuk. Unbelievable. The pasuk is not talking about waste of a child, of a human being. It's talking about having more seichel, have more pain. But he learns the word machoiv as masriach, as smelling. The older a person gets, the more smelly it gets and becomes awesome. So what came out from the Mishmur, I think, you can look into yourself. If a kid is 6 years old, once he's 6, 7 years old, it's definitely usher, even if he doesn't eat bread, does eat bread, whatever. But if a kid is 4 years old, let's say, and he's too weak to digest bread, then his waist is not usher to daven next to. But if he's 4 years old and he's strong enough, he's healthy enough to eat bread, he just doesn't eat bread for whatever reason, but he has the ability to, then it's usher to eat, to daven next to his waist. Yochol echol kezayis tzali. If he could eat meat that's roasted a kezayis. Now, obviously, there's a difference between roasted and not roasted. If it's cooked, it's easier to eat. Roasted is harder to eat. We're talking about a carbon pesach, which is roasted. So therefore, the shear is a kezayis of roasted meat. Then, shechtem alav misach pesach. When we learn misach pesach, we learn that in order, you want to be part, you have to be memuna on the carbon pesach. You have to be part of the group of this carbon pesach. So you could put a child and make him part of the group, and therefore he could eat the carbon pesach. How do you make him part of the group? If he's able to eat the kezayis that's roasted. Shenemar ish levi yochle. Yudoimer ach yochle varer achilo. If he could differentiate in food. Keitzad, noizen loy tzror vizarkoi. Egoiz, unoit loy. Found a picture. If the child is too immature to differentiate between food and inanimate objects, he'll eat a rock instead of food or his plate, then he doesn't chop. The Gemara is bringing here, like, I think, things that are similar. A walnut, now, like, a lot of people today don't know the difference. I guess if I show my kid a walnut, they'll probably think it's a stone. But whatever. If you're not to differentiate between a hard object that's food and hard enough, then you could be part of the carbon pesach. Hadron aloch, lulav gozel. Hadron aloch, lulav gozel. Hadron aloch, lulav gozel. So now all we have to do is this Mishnah in 4 minutes. Not a problem. Says the Gemara. Says the Mishnah. Sponsored. Official Mishnah. Sponsored by Fishel. L'refuah shleimah v'avram Yosef ben Chano. Lulav v'arova. The mitzvah of shaking your lulav. And the mitzvah of Arava, Shisha v'Shiva. Could be 6 days, 7 days, depending if there's a Shabbos there. Now, what is Arava? We're going to go into it later. But in the time of Beis HaMikdash, they brought Aravas, and either they put them on the Mizbeach, or they went around the Mizbeach, the Kohanim. They would circle, sorry, here we go. They would circle the Mizbeach. That mitzvah is very different than the mitzvah of Lulav. In a number of things, but as we're going to see, that the difference is that Arava you do on the final, if the seventh day comes out on Shabbos, it's Doich HaShabbos, Lulav is the opposite. It's on the first day. Hahalel, to say the full Halel, v'hasimcha. What's Simcha? So, Simcha is v'zovachta shlamim. When you shech shlamim, as we mentioned, that Sukkos is about Simcha, and eating Shlamim in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, eating the meat, is the Simcha. Shmoina, that could last for 8 days. Sukkah, sitting in a Sukkah. V'nisuch HaMayim, Nisuch HaMayim, on top of the Mizbeach, on the 7 days of Sukkos, they would pour water into the hole. Nisuch HaMayim. Shiva lasts for 7 days. Hechalil, flute, and all the musical instruments called the Simchas Beis HaShaiva. There was a big simcha going on with the whole band. That only lasts Chamisha v'Shisha, either 5 or 6 days, not 7 days. Because you don't play musical instruments on Shabbos and Yontif. Lulav Shiva Ketzad, so now the Mishnah just explains. How do you have a lulav for 7 days? How do you shake a lulav all 7 days? If the first day of Yontif fell out on Shabbos, so then it pushes off Shabbos. Then it's 7. But if the first day of Yontif falls out on a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Shisha, then you only shake the lulav 6 days because you don't push off Shabbos. The Shabbos, Chol Hamoed, you don't shake the lulav. Arava Shiva Ketzad. When is it that you would be makiv the Mizbeach 7 days with an Arava? Yoim Hashvi Shal Arava Shachalis B'Shabbos. If the seventh final day of Sukkot falls out on Shabbos, then it's Arava Shiva B'Shakol Yomim. But if the seventh day falls out on the rest of the week, Shisha, because then the middle day does not push off Shabbos. The Shabbos, the middle of the Arava of Yontif, doesn't push off. You don't do Arava on Shabbos. Mitzvahs lulav Ketzad. How does it work? Yontav Rishon Shel Chag Shel Chalos B'Shabbos Melichim Es Lulavim L'Arbayis. Everybody would bring the lulav earlier, so that you don't have to be Michal Shabbos. The Chazonim Mekabel Mehem V'Soydrin Oison. There were special people called Chazonim. These guys would take the lulavim from them. V'Soydrin Oison Agav Eitzav, and they would put it in the shade. It's like a bus stop. It was a bench with an overhang, so that the lulav wouldn't dry out. But the elderly would put their lulav inside. And they would teach everybody to say, you ever went to the Kaisel on Sukkos for Bikkur Kahanim? Imagine how many people were there. It's going to be even more. It's the Aliyah L'Regel. Everybody in Eretz Yisrael comes to the Beis HaMikdash. How many lulavim are there? There are millions. And you're going to find your lulav? Seriously. So every single person has to say, Amoichol, whoever takes my lulav, it should be a matana, gemura, and I'm going to grab his lulav, be matana, gemura, and that's how I'm going to be yotzeh. The final, next day, everybody comes on yontif. The chazorim start throwing lulavim. Hopefully they don't break the tumas. Unfortunately, nothing has changed. I was at the Levaya of Avadi Yosef. I saw things that I really want to forget. People wanted to get on a bus afterwards. It was, okay, I'm not going to talk about it. But over here, we're talking about in the Beis HaMikdash. And people were literally physically hurting each other to grab their lulav, to be kind the mitzvah, hitting, pushing, jumping. Ukshiro bezin shabo de sakana, when they saw that this mam is dangerous. Forget it, don't come to Beis HaMikdash. Moichel, your taiva, I don't need you here. If you're going to hit other people, stay at home and be mekayim the mitzvah at home. Rabboisai, have a wonderful day. That might be the only shofar here today. Thanks, Avi. Yishkoya, Reb David, Bernard David, Shalom Aleichem. How are you? Haven't seen you in a long time. Well, Hashem, I'm planning a trip to London one day, to Manchester, London. Bezer Hashem, soon. Don't let me down. No less than Chicago. Rabbi Yisai, no less than Chicago.
And they'll be
like, oh, Yoel Bergman from Chicago is here. He's not going to let me down in Chicago. No way.
Good morning, Ramelli. Thanks for the shout out. I heard you the first time, but I was on YouTube. Basically, you go into Zoom, so you show your face. I was doing the YouTube, especially, so it was like a 2-second lag.
I hear. Hey, Nach, how you doing? You still holding? I haven't seen you the whole bit as mine. This is the first time I see or heard you from you in a month. So, Yishkoya. Who's the first time on Ron Avivi is the first time on Zoom. Shalom Aleichem, Ron Avivi. Let me go to this page over here. Oh, let me see if I can find him. Where is he? Anybody see him?
Yeah. Can't spotlight him. His video's off.
Okay.
But he has a picture on his video, on his off, so.
Michael Siegelstein, you're the guy that sent the email, right?
Yeah, when are you coming to Vegas?
It's a one-way trip.
Come to the real estate show.
I used to go, I went to Vegas twice in my life. I went for a real estate show. It was a very interesting show. It was one of these shows that it's for people that own properties, who want to think out of the box, and it's only for owners. Very interesting. You get to brainstorm with other owners and figure out problems that you have and see if anybody has solutions to those problems.
We have the Chatting Teams. The Chatting Teams come.
Oh, yeah?
The stage show. Yeah.
The Chatting Teams.
Anyway, I need you to dedicate that next week, okay?
I'm not in charge of that. You have to speak to Yosef. But Be'ezer Hashem.
We gave the address.